is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom. This is Sharon Sorrells, and we have had a change of plans. Hallelujah. Glad to say God can change my plans. So, I had just about had enough of this coronavirus stuff. I had already dealt with that and done a healing series, and I was ready to go on. And I have something I thought was really great, and I just got a change of plans. I lost some files. I have no idea. So I had two backups. They're gone. Everything's gone. So in this case, submit to God and resist the devil. So in this place, first we're going to submit to God, and we're going to say, thank you, Lord, and if God had to speak to me through an angel deleting my files, then I'm going to try to hear better, but and if it's a demon that deleted my files, well, I'm going to redo them. But I really feel like, no, it is not time to move on to that particular topic. It's time to stay with what's going on. And so I don't have to tell you that the world is in the grip of COVID-19 and the grip of the media talking about COVID-19 and the grip of stupidity. So for weeks, nobody would listen. And even when the authorities said do this, they wouldn't listen. And now people, it's been, oh gosh, a couple of weeks, people have been fighting over toilet paper, right? Ha! And we all know toilet paper is a great defense against a virus gone wild. Yes, against a weapon of bioengineering or whatever it is, if you don't choose to believe that. But really, really, folks. So, yes, I understand people are afraid. And those of us who have learned some eschatology have, you know, we are watching in either more fear or unbelief. Like, for decades we have been taught about the Great Tribulation and how can you judge this otherwise than a judgment? So let's just unpack all of this and get rid of the fear. Yeah, get rid of the fear. Okay, so first off, let's do scripture. And I strongly recommend that you say these, actually say these, not just listen to them. Say them with me. Write them down. Post them on. For when you have a problem, I have some things in my purse. Scripture verses in my purse for when things go wangy. Okay, I'll pull them out and remind myself. So let's do 2 Timothy, the first chapter at verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? So it shouldn't be us who are running around afraid. We should be the lights in the world. And people are looking to us. And I have found in people who have heretofore been completely closed to conversations, because they understand the gravity of the situation. You know, they're bright and they're educated and well-connected, and they understand the gravity of the situation. So all of a sudden, they're willing to talk about faith. Oh, I envy people of faith because they have peace of mind. Okay, yes, right, exactly so. In fact, let's go ahead and read the next verse, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. The power of God, the power of God. Let's not forget that. I mean, who's got the most power in the world? Is it a little virus, or is it the God creator of all?
Yeah.
Okay. Another great thought. Here's another of great comfort to me, especially when I am studying eschatology. So, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 9th verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul is writing to the folks in Thessalonica because they are concerned about the end of the world. And this is what he says. We are not appointed unto wrath because we're the children. So when there is a fight on the playground, or, yeah, the parents don't come out to hurt their own children. They may come out menacingly to be sure the gang doesn't hurt their kids, and they may correct their kids, but they're not there. Good parents are not there to hurt their own children. That's not how it works. And even school teachers, if it's a school playground, the correction is meant for betterment of the children, assuming they're a good teacher. And this is the way that God set up the world. And I don't care how you understand the timeline of all history. This is the way it is. God has got things worked out. And we're going to have a good end. And Jesus, no less than Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the one that we teach is fully man and fully God, the one that we say Jesus is Lord, Kyrios, that's the word for God in Greek, okay? So if you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus was God. So I don't think he was probably wrong, okay? And let's hear what he had to say. So let's go to Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 21 and verse 28. Jesus says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So he's talking about all kinds of things, about persecutions. Well, we've had persecutions, even if not so sharply in the United States, but we certainly have had persecutions. Be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, well, that happened in 63, the year 63, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And the Christians did and were saved. Okay, but Jerusalem lay in ruins for centuries. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Okay. And they'll fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. Well, that happened. The Jews have been dispersed, but you know what? They're already back in their land. That happened in, certainly in 1948, they became a nation again. All right, and verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Well, we've got that. We've had a blood moon. We expected something boom right then. Well, We have had some very interesting years, and now we've got distress of nations, men's heart failing them for fear. Well, we haven't seen people dying of heart attacks from fear, but I think probably we've got some perplexity. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, so right now we're seeing things on earth shaken. Powers in heaven, is Satan's kingdom shaken and dislodged? Well, we've had an earthquake, we've had pestilence, we've had locust, we have a virus, that's a pestilence. And so things here on earth are being shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We have no idea when that's going to be. But Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, well, I think we've got beginning. Because we got a pestilence, we got locusts, and we've got a drought, or we had one. And we had an earthquake, too, last week. So when these things begin to come to pass, then, imperative, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So for you who are Christians, you should rejoice. And you know what the prophets are saying? People I know who are really seeking God and not just showing off, they're saying there's a reset coming. A reset coming. Hallelujah. That's such great news. Now, how that works with the timeline is not entirely clear. I think God has reserved that. We have studied the Bible for many years, and there are various versions. But you know what? That's not the issue. The issue is not, can you figure out everything in order? All the prophecies, put them in order and tell them exactly how they're going to be. People knew that the Messiah was going to come. Back in Jesus' day, people really had been looking for the Messiah intensely for a couple of hundred years. But they didn't understand how it was going to be because it was beyond their understanding. They just thought a king like David was going to show up. They had no idea that the king of the universe was going to show up and bring salvation to all people for eternity, right? So it was beyond their comprehension. And this might be beyond our comprehension too, but we know some things, and this is what we know. When things begin to happen, look up. Because your redemption draws nigh. Not go around like Chicken Little fighting over toilet paper. Okay, all right. So not fear, but faith. Not fear, but faith. Say this, not fear, but faith. But it's very difficult, I know, when you're in a vibe of fear, just to say, not fear, but faith. Well, if you are in a habit of getting yourself out through that, you could do it. But otherwise, withdraw, look to Jesus, get some literal picture of Jesus, get something that smells like you remember a holy time. That might be some anointing oil, whatever. some grape juice and some wine. And get yourself some Bible teaching. Get yourself in the Bible. And if you're so gripped with fear that you can't sit down and read your Bible, then turn online. We have got an enormous amount of wonderful preaching. And, I live with an enormous amount of wonderful preaching. And last week, which was spring break in my town, it was even more and awesome. In fact, I was on platform. I don't want to advertise for them, but one of the social media platforms, and I saw a little notification that Live was Brad and Rosemary Flook. I haven't heard about them in years, but 15 years ago they came to a church where I was going to, and they're traveling ministry, and they came on Live. So I thought, okay, I'll see what they're doing. And they were having a little prayer meeting, and it was lots of fun. And it was bilingual, so I was trying to understand the other language besides English. And they said, at the end, you know, if you feel to support us, you can do it this way. However, because all our meetings are canceled, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's what they do. They travel around and preach, and they're at home, too. And so they have, so lots of churches have gone online. Lots of ministries have gone online that aren't normally online. And I have another couple of friends, Johnny and Elizabeth Enlow, who are offering communion every day, just a little short podcast or whatever. And so there is so much. And you can break yourself out of one vibe and into another by doing this, because it's multi-sensory. You can hear and see. And in some cases, you might even be able to interact. And so I recommend you do that. I recommend that you get a little extra sleep, a little extra rest, and that you do not watch 24/7 the news media about the coronavirus. Now, you may have to check in to find something good. Try to eliminate the sources that are fear-mongering and find which sources are really good information sources. And probably none of the television are that good. You can see the daily press conferences of the president, the weekly of the governors. You can check in with the CDC, etc. And that's probably all you need to do. And then spend your other time calling your friends. Call your friends and say, how you doing? And, you know, have a cup of tea virtually with them. Because we are in social distancing, but we do not need to be in social isolation. So you are deputized to go out and be the pastor to all your friends. Yes? And, of course, moms may have a big shift in what they're doing. Maybe they're no longer going to their workplace, but now they're staying home with their kids and they're number one educators. And so this should be a family reset time, so that this becomes precious memories and not a horrendous crazy week. So plan some fun things to do, plan some useful things to do, and make it good. Yeah, because you, as a parent, you are the pastor of your home, and that is number one. That is job number one. Forget about income. When you have to, now I realize you can't forget about it, but in terms of priority, taking care of your child is number one. And you know what? Those of you who have struggled with children with learning disabilities, where you have had to be the educator, you've had to be the advocate, now you're going to discover that you have great muscles of faith that you did not realize, and that you are going to be the shining light, because you have had to have backbone. So you have developed muscles of faith, muscles of determination, muscles of innovation. And by the way, too, you're going to discover that homeschooling takes a lot less time and effort than schooling. So for you. So for some people, homeschooling is a lot more work because they are used to just sending their kids off to school and not worrying about it. But moms who have kids with learning disabilities know that they have to work very hard, because they have to manage the administration. They have to manage, and they have to be lawyers to the administration. They have to be managers to the teachers, and they have to be educators, the primary educators to the child. And I remember I was spending more time with my daughter's homework than she was spending in school, or that I was spending with my homework when I was in graduate school. And I wasn't in any slouch school, so it was just that hard. And besides the academic work, there was the tears, etc. When we switched to homeschooling, instead of her being in school for 6 hours and then doing homework for 8 and 2 hours in the morning crying, we had to do only 3 or 4 hours of schoolwork. Because we arranged. And actually, everybody who switches from school to homeschooling has that. It's just not obvious. Because when you are a teacher in school, and I discovered this when I was substituting, long-term substituting, is that you're spending an awful lot of time and energy on classroom management. getting the kids to line up, be quiet, blah, blah, and far fewer minutes of on-task learning. And so when you switch to the home environment, you just don't have to spend so much time and energy on classroom management. You're spending many more minutes on on-task learning. And when you switch from a group instruction to individual instruction, then you can tailor that instruction to what the child needs and the method the child needs, and so it becomes much easier. So you guys, who have struggled with the learning disabilities, and that's who I primarily aim this at, you have so much going for you, so you're going to have some better weeks. Now I know that some of you, you've got ED issues or behavioral issues, you're a little worried and frightened, and I know that school gives you a break. So try to work out some breaks for yourself. The child does not have to be in school a certain number of hours. They just need to accomplish a certain amount of work. And if you let them know that, then they'll work with you. And structure in some breaks. I saw on social media a posting that said wine tour. And they had the blueprint of a house, and then they had little icons of a wine goblet in different parts of the house. Well, of course, I'm not urging drinking so much as I'm urging innovative ways to take breaks and go into different rooms, have some of your favorite beverage, sure, whatever that is. And I also saw a couple whose cruise had been canceled, and they had their chairs pulled up to their television set. They had their feet propped up on the shelf there. They had the large screen TV with a picture of water, and they had they were dressed like they were on a cruise ship, and so they were having their cruise in front of their television. And so do some fun things like that, okay? So lots of practical ideas, and what I would suggest that you might do is share these. You could share these on greatshalom.org in the little comment section. On your own social media platform, share good ideas what to do with kids. Share. Okay. And so make this a fun time, a happy time. It's not fear, it's faith. And we've got practical faith. Yes, we're going to look up and not look down. Hallelujah. And we're going to celebrate a reset. So many of us have spent years under teaching about the Great Tribulation. And we have allowed that to be a lurid sideshow. I know that it was in the 70s, when I knew what was going on in the sound room, those were tapes back in those days, the tapes would sell more if it was about eschatology. Everybody wanted to buy a tape when the speaker had talked about the Great Tribulation. Like, why? If you believe you're not going to be here, then why do you need a tape about it? Or maybe this is about how can I save my own skin? Well, let's just posit that the Great Tribulation has always, it's going to be exactly in the lurid detail that we have. You know, and the Bible has great judgments and death and smoke and vapors, and you know, it's a bad thing. All right, well, so let's posit it just like you envisioned it in those teachings, and let's posit that, oops, you got the timing of the rapture wrong, and then let's remember, however, that after the tribulation comes Jesus and the millennium. Okay? So, regardless of when the rapture is, because the rapture is in the Bible, the great catchaway of the saints is in Thessalonians. So when is it? Is it before the tribulation? Yeah, maybe. Is it in the middle? Is it after? Guess what? It really doesn't matter. If we believe that Jesus is going to take care of us, we're going to be with Jesus, and then Jesus is going to come back, and there's going to be a millennium. So it doesn't matter when that happens. The point is that Jesus is coming back, so we should look to Jesus. And that in the end of the book, we win. And in the end, there's going to be a kingdom of God on earth. As the waters cover the sea, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk, how much do waters cover the sea? A lot. Okay, so have we got perplexity of nations? Yes. Are you shining as a light? Yes, if you're looking at Jesus. You're reflecting the light of Jesus. Is there going to be a reset? Yes. Are we going to participate in that? Yes. How is that going to be? You know, I can't tell you all the details, but it's coming, so let's work on it now, because we know we're here and we're occupying. So what does occupying mean? It doesn't mean just occupy yourself and keep busy. No. It means do business. In Greek, that word means do business, all right? So you're going to have influence in your sphere of society, and for most of you, that's your mothers. Occupy in English means that you are in charge of that territory, that you're the invading force and the new administration. That's what it means in English. So occupy. As long as you're here, you be the kingdom. In the meantime, we've got judgment, so it's time to repent. Repent on behalf of the nation, but repent also because we have not been influencing well enough. We've been hiding in a corner to avoid persecution. So we repent, Lord. We repent, but we thank you that we know that it is the throne of grace. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that have made us strong in the past. Help us to be lights. And we thank you. We look to Jesus and we praise God, for our redemption draws nigh.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.